Saturday with Cullum O'Mungon on RTÉ Radio 1.
Hello again. Still here with me in studio, our Education Minister and Fianna Fáil TD for Kerry, Norma Foley, Fine Gael, Minister of State of the Department of Agriculture, Martin Hayden, and TD for Kildare South, Louise O'Reilly of Sinn Féin, and TD for Fingal West, and Independent TD Paul Gogarty for Dublin Midwest. Now, I want to look at some of the issues in your own brief, Norma Foley. We're going to start with the ongoing challenges that schools are experiencing when it comes to finding teachers to fill permanent and fixed-term posts, as well as the difficult in finding substitute teachers. We're going to go first to Donachal Clarig, who's principal of Scolwyris School. It's a girls' school in Sandyford in Dublin. Good afternoon to you, Donachal Clarig. Thanks very much for joining us.
Good morning. Good afternoon, Colm. And actually, we're in Sandy Mount in Dublin 4, so just to let you know.
I beg your pardon. We'll relocate in
no
that
problem.
Case.
Yeah. No
so
problem.
You're the secretary of the South Dublin branch of the INTO as well, so you're not just
correct.
Plugged into your own school. So what are you hearing about the teacher shortages and pressure in that regard?
Yeah, sure. I suppose just a tiny bit of background, Colm. I've been a teacher for 28 years, a principal for the last 6, and I am, as you said, branch secretary for Dublin City South, which gives me the access to 50 schools in our area. And things are just absolutely at a chronic level. And I suppose more importantly than anything, I suppose I'm a parent of 2 primary school girls, 2 fantastic girls in 3rd and 6th class. So I do see the impact that it's having for them, and I can see both sides of the fence. Things are at a chronic level. Access to information is very difficult, and even for myself coming on the radio and put my head above the parapet, nobody likes to say there's problems in their school. For me to stand up and say that I've got unqualified personnel in my class teaching and I've got unfilled positions is really, really difficult. I suppose that's why it's not in the media at the moment. This year, I suppose I decided really I'd come to a place called Stop, and I just produced an absolute miracle this summer of getting all my positions filled with qualified people. And I decided in September to bring in all my parents and have a really, really honest discussion with them and tell them that this year when I will lose teachers, that I will not be able to replace them with any kind with qualified teachers at any stage. I suppose every school has class teachers, which we've 12, and then we've 3 support teachers. So we've 1 support teacher to help 100 kids, which is in itself is really stark. But if any of my class teachers go out sick, I'm bringing in one of those support teachers. And then the children, the most needy, that they're helping, the kids who have dyslexia, dyscalculia, ADHD, they are getting no help. They go down from maybe getting help every day to getting help once a week. I suppose I'd like to reference in some facts, Colm, I suppose, from our INTO survey that we did back in autumn. And this is only from 40% of the schools that responded, so that's only 2 out of every 5, that there were 951 staff shortages, and that it was expected by this month, January 2025, there'd be a further 1,816. That's because obviously things like maternity leave and sick leave kick in. So that would give a total this month of 2,767. I mean, it's shocking. And I suppose probably just more worrying than that was the fact that there were 724 unqualified individuals employed in the schools. These are people who have just a degree, any kind of a degree. It could be in economics, agriculture, who can get a restricted number from the teaching council and are literally standing in classrooms masquerading as teachers. I mean, you wouldn't have to go to college for 4 years to become a teacher if it was that simple.
Right. And what's the impact of that if you have somebody who is unqualified in teaching, standing at the top of a classroom with a skill set, a non-relevant skill set, albeit in good faith, the willingness to teach and provide that stand-in supervision.
Yeah.
What's the impact on pupils?
I suppose it would be the equivalent of you being in hospital after heart surgery and the nurse walks in and starts talking to you and she tells you she's a degree in economics. She said she'd try nursing and she's just walked in the day before and the nursing council have given her a number to try it out. And I mean, and you questioned me about classrooms. I mean, they would have no knowledge of the curriculum. They would have no knowledge of the science to look out for children with dyslexia. They would have no knowledge of planning short-term or long-term. And, I mean, it's a 4-year degree, and this is somebody who is literally winging it. And that puts serious pressure on all of the other.
Do they have to meet any criteria when they get register with the teaching council for, not the full teaching council license to teach, but are there any criteria they have to fulfil based on experience
just,
or anything
just
else
that they
to
have
do
the,
that?
They have that degree. There's Garda vetting, of course, but then they can't. I suppose the only thing they're stopped from is taking up a permanent job. They can take up fixed term year jobs, and it's frightening, really, because what we've totally forgotten here is that just a few years ago, all of our school children were impacted with COVID. And literally half the kids in primary school were through those COVID years. They missed 3 months 1 year. If any kid missed 3 months in school, they'd be repeating the year. But that happened 2 years in a row. So our kids in third to sixth class have been totally impacted with those years where they're so far behind the game.
I'm sorry to cut across you, because there's just a couple of other things I want to ask you about. The pupil-teacher ratio, in the course of the general election, the Minister's Party committed to a 19-to-1 pupil-teacher ratio. Given the resource constraints on staffing, how do you see that panning out, the likelihood of that in the near to medium term?
Well, the problems we have are that we've no support teachers. The problems we have is that we've no access to any kind of OTs, speech therapists. For example, every school, for 25 years, I had a NEP psychologist that I could ring up and I would know their name and their mobile number. And I could ring them up today and say, we've got a child. She's talking about self-harming, something really, really serious. Now what I do is I have to ring a local office and I am told that please put it in an email and someone will get back to me within 5 days. I mean, that is how crazy things are at the moment. I have to apply for a voucher. So teachers don't. There are, in every school in Dublin, pretty much, there are support teachers lacking. So the class teacher doesn't get any help, doesn't get any support, but then they don't have access to any kind of those multidisciplinary teams that they need. You know,
can I ask you the barriers to this? You say you're plugged in with a network of 50 schools. Your own school is mercifully in a relatively stable position when it comes to permanent teaching posts. But the other schools, what are they reporting as being the main barrier to actually recruiting teachers and filling those posts?
Well, Colm, for instance, our young teachers this year are paying €1,000 for rent in a room. If they were back in Clare or Tipperary, where I'm from, I just actually looked up the figures this morning, they'd be paying €450 or thereabouts a month. So they're literally €6,000 a year just on accommodation better off. And that's cash, that's after tax. So who's going to come to Dublin and pay €1,000 a month? For that's 2 weeks work gone, and then you've all the other cost of living in a city. So at the end of if you're lucky enough to get one of these fantastic new teachers, at the end of first year they'll come to you and say, can I put you down a reference? I'm off to Dubai. Right. Or they will go down the country and just struggle on 2 days work a week, and because there just isn't a population down there. But by living at home, they're financially probably in the same position. Or as we found out at a recent INTO meeting, there's quite a number, even in Cork City, I think there's something like 15 qualified teachers working as SNAs, special needs assistants, just to get a job and get their foot in the door in a school.
Okay. Donnacall Cleary, principal of Scoilwira Girls National School in Sandymount. Many thanks for joining us on that. Minister Norma Foley, first of all, let's deal with the INTO survey that was quoted by Donnacall O'Clery there. They recorded last year 951 vacancies and projected that there would be 1,816 come January as a result of retirements. Do you have the numbers as to what the vacancies are at the moment in terms of unfilled teaching positions?
Yeah, well, if just at the outset to confirm, we've never had as many teachers in post as we have presently. We've more than 72,000 teachers. That's the highest number of teachers we've ever had in the system in post. And I think that's very significant. And I don't at all take away from the challenges now that Donnacha has referenced here. And, you know,
in the context of a larger population than we had heretofore.
No, but again, just to acknowledge, we've increased, for example, by 20% the teacher training places. We have a 30% increase of teachers registered with the teaching council. So I'm not taking away from the challenges that he speaks of, particularly the challenges that are in Dublin. But I do think it's important to point out that we have made considerable strides as well. Notwithstanding that, there are going to be challenges, particularly he has referenced challenges in Dublin. We know, for example, and he referenced it there in terms of costs of accommodation. And again, I would point to the fact that there is the rent rebate that has been provided in that respect as well. But also we've gone a step further in recognising that, frontline workers are particularly challenged in areas like Dublin. So legislation has been passed in terms of housing so that, for example, cost rental
programs. Just on the specifics, so, because, you know, and apologies for interrupting, but the specific question you asked in the beginning was on that INTO survey, which said there was 951 vacancies last year. They expected a further 1,800 by January. And his, Donoghue's quick tot, that was over 2,700 gaps in teaching posts. So what is the figure now?
Yeah, and I just want to say to you in relation to that, we do have 72,000 teachers in post. Donoghue has graciously referenced that that was a survey, not of all schools, but of some schools.
Yeah, but 35-40%.
They're making an estimate there. We're always going to have teacher absences, whether it's through illness or whatever the case might be. Do you have that figure to hand? Those figures will only come to the department now when the October returns have been done and as we move on into this new term, and those figures will be analysed, because each school is the individual employer and each school has control of who is in and out. But I want to, I think it's important he did get considerable time, so I think it's important that I would make the point that one of the key issues he has raised there is around housing. I'm saying that we have now made provision, so in, for example, in cost rental, that significant accommodation can be put to one side for frontline workers. That would include teachers. We've also ensure that we're given additional resources to train more teachers, whether it's in at primary level, whether it's those that are doing the Masters in Education, whether it's at post-primary, those that are following STEM. So we are proactive in the space, but there will always be challenges. I accept that.
Sure. So the figures on the vacancies aren't there, but the ones that are highlighted by that survey are pretty stark. But I suppose one of the things maybe teachers listening to this, they may recall, and yet you're probably keen to revisit this yourself. During the general election campaign, at a debate hosted by the INTO, you said the current teacher shortage could be seen as an opportunity. Mm. People were rather annoyed by that at the time. I mean, the opportunity surely is presented by the unfilled posts to fill those posts, but framing it as an opportunity, what did you mean by that?
Because that wasn't giving it its full context. It's an opportunity to do things differently, to look at how we are presently doing things and to do things differently. So, for example, I've already referenced that in teaching, during my time...
For the benefit of listeners, you were asked if you'd regard the shortage of teachers in Irish schools as a crisis. And to that you replied, the word crisis, when written in one particular language, means opportunity, or it means division, or it means disappointment. We see it as an opportunity to do more in this space.
So exactly,
you don't see it as a disappointment. You see it as an opportunity
to do things more and to do things differently. So, for example, what kind of things have I done differently in my term as minister? So for the first time, we have found a route for our trainee teachers, for example, that they can register with the Teaching Council and that they can make themselves available. That's more than, 3,700 teachers being available to provide trainee teachers to be available into the schools. We have found routes around ensuring that we have additional pipeline, if you like, of teachers coming forward. So we've increased by 20% the places that are available. So it's about seizing new opportunities to do things differently, to bring more and more into the space. And so, for example, the easiest thing for me as minister would have been not to, for example, look at pupil-teacher ratio, which we did. It's at a historic low of 22.5%. And Donoghue and the INTO have advocated for that. And indeed, they've advocated also for a 19-to-1 pupil-teacher ratio, which is something that I and Fianna Fáil are very committed to. And we must also recognise, I suppose, that the population at primary school is declining and will decline over the next number of years. But okay, I believe in the smaller classes. I believe, for example, in our special classes, and reference was made there, that we should have one teacher to six pupils, and that's what we have. Okay, and we've doubled the number of special classes.
We'll come back to you on some of that. Louise O'Reilly, you heard Donoghue O'Clery there. Mm-hmm. You've heard the Minister reiterate a commitment to a pupil-teacher ratio of 19-to-1. But, on the other issues to stem the problems of teacher recruitment, what are your own party's proposals around that? How would you be doing it differently?
Well, I suppose, it's worth noting that while there is a teacher shortage here and, the figures of 70-odd thousand was given by the minister, she didn't break that down into how many are qualified or how many simply have a registration number from the Teaching Council, how many are teaching full-time, part-time, etc. So the broad figure does not give the true picture. The true picture at the level of the schools is that school principals, and my own sister is one, are having to make do, are having to try to find cover for classes. And at the end of the day, the people who and the learners are the ones, the students, the children are the ones that will suffer because of the failure by the government to adequately resource and indeed to plan for the numbers that are in schools currently. You know, and I said this because I was on a programme with you last week, and I'll say it again. There is no teacher shortage in Dubai because that is where teachers are going. And they are going there in increasing numbers because they feel that they are wanted there, because they believe they have an opportunity there, because they have the chance to be able to live away from home, which many of them want and cannot afford. You know, so at the moment, as it stands, teachers are not just leaving the profession, they're also leaving the capital and they're leaving the country because they simply cannot afford to live anywhere, so even
remotely. Do you have a short to medium term solution on that? Because looking through the election manifestos, there the issue of, say, a Dublin allowance for to compensate teachers who might be teaching in Dublin. That's not one of the proposals that's contained in or supported by your party's manifesto.
So I think what we need to see is we need to see actual delivery of affordable homes for working people to rent and buy. So if you are a teacher living in my constituency and you look up the council website and you look up the government definition of affordable, you will see homes that are on the market for €565,000 with the banner ahead of them that they are affordable homes. So the previous government believe, and the Taoiseach indeed himself, he said he didn't think it was affordable, but that's what they call it. They call them affordable
homes. But you'd appreciate that, that's a kind of a medium to longer term solution.
No,
the short term critical situation.
In the short term, what we need to do is we need to start building homes, affordable homes that working people can rent and buy. We need to ensure that there is a proper functioning refundable tax credit, and we need to ensure that we ban rent increases, that we ensure that there are no rent increases, and also that we put money back into renters' pockets, because many teachers are renting. They're renting in the capital where they are working. But I think we really need to focus this back where it should be, because at the end of the day, it is children that will suffer because of the inaction of this government and because of the failure of the government to address it. And how many parents today are sitting at home, they're listening to this on the radio, and they're wondering what the qualification level of the teacher that is that is actually teaching their kids is. And believe me, principals do not want to have to do this. They're doing it as a last resort.
I want to let Paul Gogarty in on this. You heard Donnacha O'Clery as well talking about you know, the gaps that are being experienced around the schools. Any recommendations on this front yourself?
Yeah, I do actually have recommendations, and it's worth pointing out that 30% of respondents in the INTO survey said they had difficulty filling positions for last year, and it's likely to be worse this year coming. Just to play the local card for a second, Dublin is the county bearing the brunt of the crisis with the number of permanent posts vacant, and especially in special schools. And in my constituency of Dublin Midwest, the minister mentioned that the primary school population is going down. But in areas like Adamstown, another 4,000 houses to come, Clonburris, another 8,500 houses to come, there's going to be a primary accommodation crisis in Dublin Midwest, which isn't being addressed here. You talk about solutions. On my election priorities page, I mentioned the Dublin allowance is one of the number one ones, not just for teachers, but also for nurses and Gardaí. And also a situation, for example, where the departments could buy or rent housing adjacent to areas where there are school teacher shortages and put teachers up for 2 years, add an affordable rent to allow them to get onto the property ladder. The problem is those teachers don't get
About, are you talking about the Department of Education enabling schools to rent accommodation on the private rental market and I suppose go into competition with other renters and then offer that at a subsidised basis to teachers?
You've seen the likes of Ryanair do this already. I go so far as for nurses, for example, to say to purchase a number of accommodation units where workers are guaranteed 2 years at an affordable rent.
Do you have a figure you'd put on a Dublin allowance?
I don't have a figure, but the point is that it's been ruled out by the government. We need to get that type of information. What I do have, and Louise mentioned it about teachers going to Dubai, they're also going to Australia. If those teachers don't have fixed-term contracts where they can take a career break and travel, they're not going to come back. Okay. And that's the fundamental issue. And there's a smaller one I just want to mention. It's not huge in numeric terms, but I did get contacted recently by a constituent who was looking for support for incremental credit for teachers with experience outside the EU. This is an Irish teacher who wants to come back to Ireland but isn't going to get the paying conditions benefits. So we do need to do more from various aspects. It needs to be talked about. And again, it goes back to trying to get the dole resuming as quickly as possible.
Okay. Minister, just remind me, the starting point on the salary for secondary and primary teachers respectively is
46,000 rising to 85,000.
Okay. And for that primary or secondary?
at the primary, that's okay. The beginning.
And at secondary?
It's roughly in and around the same, something okay. similar. Yeah.
I think was there a difference of about €1,000, €1,500.
But this is under the new PAYE deal.
The rents that have been talked about there, I suppose the rents in Dublin, average rent in Dublin, November last year was around 2,500, and the take-home pay of somebody is about 33,000, or you know, slightly more under the figures you're talking about there. I mean, that's you know, that the rental alone is 28,000 a year. It doesn't leave much change for somebody if they were renting on their own. A lot of them then, as a result, are renting in rental shares. In that case, which is difficult if they're trying to start a family, if they're living on their own. It effectively means they're living in communal situations, and it makes things pretty difficult to move on with their life, doesn't it?
Look, I accept one of the chief issues is around housing. There's no doubt about that. Government has conceded that and has worked assiduously in this space. And indeed, Micheál Martin has been very clear that will be again another number one priority going forward. And we have seen more than 50,000 commencements in the last, 10 months of 2024, which is very significant. But what we do need to see, and I've already referenced it in terms of, we'll say, cost rental, and the legislation is now in place that there may well be ring-fenced opportunities there for frontline workers, including teachers. We need to see greater potential around affordable accommodation. And I hear what Louise says, but, under the Sinn Féin plan, people might well own a house, but they won't own the land underneath it. And I see there's disquiet there amongst the Sinn Féin membership themselves in relation to that. So
how many teachers now are living in a commencement
Our priority is to ensure that there's greater opportunity, greater choice within the housing market, it's cost rental, whether it's affordable accommodation, whatever the case might be.
I just make one very brief point. I will let you
the cost of housing in Dublin has gone up. The average cost of a house in Dublin now requires two people, not just one teacher, but they have to find someone else, to be in the top 15% of earners to be able to afford an average house in Dublin. Now, I mean, Norma can spout all of the figures that she likes. Teachers do not earn that money. They need affordable housing. The government had 5 years, actually 9 years, of some form of government arrangement between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, and under their watch, it has gotten worse. Okay. It is worth noting that of the 15,000 people, that's another record broken by this government, 15,000 people in emergency accommodation with nowhere to go, some of those are teachers. In fact, I think it would shock people listening to know how many of those are people who are working, people with decent jobs, and some of those are teachers because I know them myself.
Okay, I want to come back to you, Norma Foley, on something you said, that effectively, as the school population begins to fall due to demographics, pupil-teacher ratio won't be as bad and the vacancy situation is bad. It's a kind of a striking sentiment to express, because there was a piece written by two experts in education, Judith Halford, from a professor of education at UCD, and Brian Fleming, who also works in UCD. And they said there's an unstated policy of the Department of Education that they're afraid, in effect, that they'll be left with surplus teachers if they engage in the proper level of recruiting. And the attitude within the department is, let demographics look after the ratio of teachers to pupils. Is that true?
No, absolutely not. And so far as I've already outlined, that it is our ambition, certainly within Fianna Fáil, to bring the pupil-teacher ratio down to 19 to 1. I've worked in the education
when,
sector.
When will that be delivered? Given the challenges you've outlined, the INTO's best guess at this, and you don't have the figures yourself, is that there'll be 2,700 vacancies. In order to fill those vacancies, which are only to deal with the 23 to 1 pupil-teacher ratio and bring it down to 19 to 1, I mean, realistically, will that be delivered in the lifetime of the next government if Fianna Fáil is part of it?
Well, again, I will say to you, and not to repeat myself, we have, over the lifetime of this government, seen a higher increase in the number of teachers in the system, actually in the system and working in the schools. We are committed to bringing down the pupil-teacher ratio over the lifetime time of this government. It serves students well. The reference to the fact that the number of children at primary school is coming down, that's just a statement of fact. That's, an absolute statement of fact.
Is it something you're relying on in the department to mitigate the situation?
No, absolutely not. Okay. Certainly not. Okay. It's an ambition, as I said, to bring it down to 19 to 1. It best serves the students. But equally so, I think I must make the point that we have a greater number. Like, we could have sat on our hands and done nothing at all, but we have progressively increased, in fact, doubled the number of special classes, which means we require one teacher with six students. I think that was the right thing to do. We've increased the number of special schools. We've introduced actually 16 new special schools in the lifetime of this government. I don't see anybody could disagree with us doing that. Okay. So we require more teachers for that.
52% of special schools have reported unfilled posts. Mm-hmm. That needs to be addressed, Minister.
And again, I just want to say, just reference in relation to that now. We have, as I've said, 72,000 teachers in the system. We also have, across all sectors, whether it's special schools, whether it's special classes or whatever. And one last point was made there, and I'll finish on this one, in terms of access to therapists and everything else. It is the intention under this new programme for government, should it get up and running, that it's certainly a Fianna Fáil objective, that therapists will not be relied from in the community, but they will
There are over 700 vacancies within the HSE for the Community Disability Network teams already that remain unfilled. So they would have to be filled for the Community Disability Network teams.
It would be a system under the National Council for Special Education.
But you'd be in competition with the HSE, surely, then.
But it, for those reasons, it will be.
I do need to get to Martin Hayden because we haven't heard from him yet.
We will increase the number of training opportunities for speech and language therapists. We will look at assistant speech and language therapist occupational therapists.
I need to bring in Martin Hayden on this. Martin Hayden, your party wasn't committed to a 19-to-1 pupil teacher ratio. I can only assume that 23-to-1, the current pupil teacher ratio, is what your party is committed to. So is this one of those points of disagreement you were talking about earlier when you were talking about the negotiations for the formation of government?
No, you can't make that assumption about 23-to-1 either, Colm. The fact is that you called it a sentiment earlier. It's not. It is a fact that there is reducing demographics nationally coming down the line in terms of primary school places. But actually, for the area that I live in Kildare and counties like Mead and Wicklow and Dublin, has been, as pointed out here by Paul and Louise as well, is those demographics aren't going to reduce in those counties, because we are seeing, and there's other counties similar, that have seen a large amount of houses being built and a large amount of development. So the demographic changes isn't uniform across the country, and that does bring in challenges into this space. And ultimately, look, you know, our challenges in terms of teacher numbers has been reflected across all sectors of society. We're at full employment. We have an economy that is burgeoning. There's a lot of different employment opportunities that a government has created. Successive governments have created an environment where business has been able to create a lot of jobs, but in the private sector
I suppose a
challenge for us that we have to continue to grapple with, and the next government is going to have to deal with this across a whole host of areas where you outline where there are vacancies.
Okay. All right, we've got to take a break. We're back in a minute.
Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.